Welcome. Thank you for joining us today. We are exploring this topic, He Touched Me. Of course, comes from the song He Touched Me. And we're taking more of the bent or the angle that when He touches us, it changes the trajectory of our life. We respond differently than before we experience that touch. And so we've been looking at different stories of where Jesus touched someone. Today, though, it's a little bit of a reversal because someone touches Jesus. Now, the key is there's still the touch. And so I want to explore as we go through Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 24. Let's read together. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. As the story is taking a little bit of a turn, Jesus is walking in a crowd, and he's walking towards someone's house. But I want to pick it up where it says, and he went with him. So he's going with this guy. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowds pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." So here's this woman who is afflicted with this issue of blood for 12 years. And she has found her way to touch Jesus. There's that touch. But we want to talk a little bit about this journey that she was on that got her to the place of touch and then her life after the touch. She really starts out in a place that I think, first of all, we can all relate, even if you're a guy, you're not a woman, wouldn't understand, you know, because I don't understand that issue that she's facing. But what we can all relate to is that this is a person who is unnamed and she's in a world of all these uns. And for her, this being unnamed, I think represents a lot of people. When you feel like the God of the universe has taken the world and he went and he spun it and he got it going. And then he went away and has had the heavenly lunch and he's really not concerned. And so you're going through life. And while people may know your name, the one who is going to be able to help, the one who's going to be able to change your life looks at you as just being nameless. You're just a spot amongst a sea of spots. You're the Waldo in the midst of all that whole picture, and think that the God of the universe, he could find you if he looked, but he's not even looking. So for her, she's in this pursuit. She's going after, because while she's unnamed, she's extremely frustrated. She's frustrated because in her body, she's unhealthy. She's dealing with something that caused her to be tired and lack energy, where, you know, she was, you know, had to constantly find this place of rest because her body wouldn't do what her body was designed to do. So she kind of lives in this perpetual place of frustration because there's absolutely no progress in her body. For literally 12 years, her life is continually being drained from her. And so from that, really, that you find that she, you know, while the Bible doesn't say it, it's not hard to understand that she really lives an unhappy life because emotionally she's drained. If you've ever had a condition of health that takes away your physical strength, that takes away your ability to just go after things, it drains you emotionally. You find that you are, you know, you're unhappy because you're unable to do the things that you want to do. For her, she was in some respects was looked at as a leper. She was separated. She was pushed away. And so in her mind, she knows that she is unloved, because if people loved her, they wouldn't tell her that, you know, well, I can't touch you and you're an unclean person. And so I can't be around you. So there was this emotional distress that was constantly going on inside her. But then because of that, she was also frustrated relationally. She was frustrated relationally because now people, they couldn't be around her. Every time that she was sick in bed or just sitting in a chair, or she was, trying to get something to eat, if somebody touched her, that they had to go bathe. And so she was in this place where for her, she was like, I don't even know what to do. My whole life relationally, it's completely and totally unsuccessful. She couldn't do it because ultimately she and by society had pushed her away. Her body was leaving her. And but here's the cool thing about her is that in all of her frustrations, she refused to accept life the way it is. And so if you're watching this and you find yourself really at a place where you don't want to accept life the way it is, then here's the moment, because she had a moment that she heard Jesus was coming to town. Jesus was going to be near. And now she heard of the Savior, the great physician, and she could do something about her frustration.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. And you use the term a number of times to kind of speak about her frustration. I mean, we can't even imagine. I mean, those of you, somebody might be listening to this, watching this, who's experienced some kind of a chronic condition. And whenever anybody tells you, oh, I understand how you feel, you clearly know they don't. So I'm never going to say that to someone because I don't know. It's got to be this wearing, tedious, just ongoing every moment, every day, pounding you frustration. And she really, as you said, she wasn't going to just take this lying down. She had to lie down a lot, I'm sure. But this unworld wasn't okay with her. She was unwilling to be unsuccessful. So she went out and she went to doctor after doctor after doctor, is what the scripture says. And this just added to her unrest. This added to the unsuccessful. She didn't get better. In fact, the scripture says she got worse until she heard about this unbelievable, there's an unword for you, this unbelievable report. She had heard, it says in the scripture, the reports of Jesus. She had heard the word about Jesus, never met him, but she had heard that Messiah has come. Somebody says that God has visited the planet. God is here and he's making sick people well. And so this unbelievable story, this unmatched power, this unimaginable opportunity is now given to her. And if she's going to pursue after, spending all of her living on the physician, surely here's the great physician. Here is the Lord Jesus himself. And she says to herself, she says, this is her faith. This is how you deal with your frustration. You've got to see Jesus. And when you see Jesus immediately, when you truly see Christ as who he is, this is God with us. This is God for us. This is God investing into our lives. This is God providing everything that we have need of. That's what the scripture says. Everything you and I need for life and godliness, we have not because we're intent, not because we're devout. We have it because it is given to us in Christ Jesus the Lord. And so it's just this word about the Lord, this unbelievable, unimaginable, unbridled power. And he's giving away this unmerited favor, this gracious God. And so she says to herself, I just need to forsake everything else. I'm going to push everything else aside, and I'm going to go after Christ. And that's really what faith is all about. He is, the Bible says, the author, and he's the finisher of our faith. So when you see him as he really is, faith comes to life. He's the Alpha. It starts with this proper view of who Christ is. But when your faith is fulfilled in your life, it's because you meet Christ. You touch Christ. You are able to approach him. This access is granted to you. And for this woman, this is the reality. This is the faith that she embraces, forsaking everything else. I'm going after Christ. There's someone has rightly or aptly taken this term faith, the spelling of the word faith, F-A-I-T-H-T-H, and made it kind of an acronym, forsaking all, I take him. That's probably not theologically all that sound, but I got to tell you, experientially, that's pretty good news. When you are willing to just drop the frustrations, just stop hustling around and trying and the new, let's spend some more money. Let's turn over a new leaf. Let's you know, make a new dedication or whatever it is. We need Jesus. What you need is the touch of Christ. You need to be in the place where he is. And for the woman, that was her goal. That was her quest. That was the faith. If I can just be where he is, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, this is the beauty of her faith now, by the way. This is the New Testament faith. Everything about the Old Testament would say to a person who's unclean, if I touch anybody, my uncleanness passes to them. But this woman believed that if this is really the Christ of God, if this is really God with us, then the clean that is in him will flow to me. And if I can touch him, it's not going to be what I bring to the party. It's going to be what he brings to the party. I love this exchange. This is what the whole fiber of reconciliation is about. He makes him to be sin for us who does not know sin, so that in him we might be made the righteousness of God. We bring our sinful stuff. She brings her disease. Christ brings his healing virtue and his healing power. And so here she is. She's ready to go. She's got the faith. But this isn't going to be an easy journey.
Yeah.
This is going to be a bit of a fight.
Right. And I think it's important that when we talk about the fight, that we qualify this a little bit. Because the way to the Father through Jesus Christ doesn't require a fight. That fight's already done. That fight was done by Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and overcoming death in the grave. Yet, there are times in our walk with Christ or our experience with Christ that there is this fight that he allows to have happen. Because certainly the Father could have led Jesus right to her. But the Father said, no, I believe there's an expression of her character, of who she is as a person in a belief of my son, that I'm going to let her fight through some things to get there. And I think that in a world where it becomes easy and easier to sit on the sidelines, to just do, one of my favorite movies is Bug's Life. I've got to bring it up as Bug's Life there, you know, the one little ant's trying to get out in the world and see something different. And the queen ant says to him, hey, it's not a lot, but it's a life. And I think a lot of people take that when it comes to that, well, I've said yes to Jesus, and now I'm just going to sit back and wait for him to come back, and I'll read all the books about him coming back, so I don't have to fight for anything. But the Lord's wanting to build a characteristic in us of fighting and going after. And certainly, after 12 years and giving everything that she had, there was this characteristic that says, I'm still going to go after it. And so if you kind of get the picture, Jesus is going along, and there may have been people in front of him, but certainly the largest amount and the biggest group would have been following him. They saw him do something, so they were following him to see what he was going to do next. And so then you got this outer crowd, and then you got the disciples right there behind him that she's got to work all the way through. Now, you know, we've all been maybe in situations where we've been in crowds. I remember a number of years ago, we took our family to Disneyland, and it was on New Year's Eve, and they actually sold out. They would not allow anyone else to come into Disneyland. It was packed, and it was about 11:30-ish, and they were getting ready to do the fireworks over the castle, and me and one of my kids were in this place. We got separated from my wife, and I kind of just said, if we don't find them now, we're not going to find them at all. And we turned around and the crowd was just so heavy. We just start working through. But then I saw off in the not too distance, too far away, this guy, this Disneyland porter pushing a guy in a wheelchair. And I thought, oh, there's our moment. And so I slipped in behind that wheelchair and just started yelling. and said, wheelchair coming through, and people parted and we just kind of followed along. You know, if there was anyone yelling, it would have had to have been her yelling that she was unclean. Now, that would have probably parted everyone in such a way that gave everything. But the Bible doesn't record that happened. She kind of fought her way through. And in order to do that, what she had to fight through first was all the things that the enemy had implanted in her mind. She was unworthy. She wouldn't have the strength, whatever it was that he put inside of her, all the reasons for her to give up, that it really was unnecessary to even do the fight because you're not going to get there. She had to fight through that first. So the fight for her was first in her head. But then, you know, then she had to fight her own physical body, every part of her health that wanted to just lay down and give up. She fought through to be able to touch Jesus. And then, of course, there was the crowd. She had to, kind of work her way through doing the elbows, getting the look. You know, if you've ever cut in line wanting to get ahead of somebody, you know, there are looks associated with that. So it's fair to say that while they didn't know about her issue, she offended some people along the way, people who were well-meaning people that may have also been trying to get to Jesus. And so she worked her way all the way to that place where she could get through. And because of her fight, because of her willingness to move through the crowd, even move through the disciples. Again, we're not in the scriptures told what that looked like, but certainly that was the last group she had to get through to touch Jesus. Then she even did that, and then the touch came. And immediately, she knew something had happened in her body. Mm-hmm. There was something immediately that took place, and she knew that her fight was worthwhile.
Amen. Yeah, I love that. It is. It's hard for us to imagine what this must have been like, because we haven't seen these kind of things. You know, if there was a spectacular, miraculous enablement that was associated with just some individual in the middle of a society where you're not rife with medications and all these other kind of things. People are looking for spiritual answers for healing. And when someone has power, when they actually have authority, then the crowds are going to come around them. The scripture records that they would bring people out just to hope that the shadow of the apostles in the early church would pass by them. And so there was this level of desperation. There was this level of seeking after and clinging to and getting close to the Lord that she has to fight through. She just has to push her way through that entire crowd. But even before that, I mean, come on, every step of that way, that's got to be hard. You know, if you're healthy and you're well-bodied, you know, I'm sure that's hard. But for someone who's been just bleeding, hemorrhaging for 12 years, yeah, this is like an all or nothing kind of fight. This amazing effort that this woman is putting forth here. And I love that about that. You know, I just love that. It is not by works that we're saved, but to touch the Lord, to be in a relationship with Him, to grow into this is worth the work. It is worth the effort. It is worth pressing in and going after that. And so she has to fight with her own condition. She has to certainly fight with the enemy, you know, because again, it's, you know, how much have you wasted already? How much of your money have you already spent? She's got this she lives in this unworld that we talked about, you know, unsuccessful, unwell, unhealthy, unclean. And this is just going to be one of those unmoments. And yet, she presses through. She finally gets to the place where she's reached out and she's done what she said. If I could only touch the Lord, if I could touch Him, everything will change. And sure enough, as soon as she touched Him, she felt in her body this freedom. So this frustration leads to this place of faith for her, and then she fights this good fight of faith, and the freedom comes to her, the freedom that comes. Can you imagine? I mean, you know in your body that strength has returned, that this bleeding has stopped, that this touch of Christ, something has happened. Jesus knew it. He said, power flowed from me. Because he asked, who touched me? Who touched me? That's a great question. Who touched me? You got to love. There's a whole crowd of people. Everybody's trying to touch him. And there's all these people that are pushed up against him. And one of them is Peter, who says, duh. You know, I mean, maybe you don't say duh to the Lord Jesus, but Master, there are lots of people right in here pressing around you who are touching you. But he says, now wait, now there's a difference. The touch of faith is not just the casual something. This woman's touch was not a casual something. This woman went after it in the name of the Lord Jesus. She went after this moment of the touch of Christ, this moment of intersection with her need and his awesome provision, and knowing that this would happen, believing that this would happen, and in fact, receiving in her body the freedom that the Lord brought to her. And so the Lord just stopped. She would have melted into the crowd. She would have just let the crowd keep going because they were on the way. She was pressing up from behind, as you said. So they would have kept going, and she would have just drifted back, but drifted away well, except that the Lord stops the procession. The Lord is the one who says, okay, now that was faith. That was a moment. Something exciting just happened for someone who's touching me. And so he's looking around, and she finally, it's almost like she's embarrassed. I have to tell. I'll have to fess up here. And so she comes and kneels before the Lord and basically tells him everything about, you know, how much, what, the 12 years, the all her living spent, all of these other kind of things, this and that and the other thing. She puts it all out there. And the Lord, I just love how he says it. He says, daughter, you know, you here you are. You're a part of the family. Your faith has saved you. And it's a beautiful phrase. The word that she uses, this sozo word that we translate healing, it also translates as salvation. It's this whole package thing. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of the touch of the Lord. It's not just, it's mind, it's body, it's soul, it's spirit, it's spiritual, it's eternal, it's physical. It is real, this touch of the Lord. And so here's the truth for us for today, I think, is that God is available. We used to sing a song that Jesus is passing this way. He's passing this way, you know, and reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Now, he's come to stay, and that's the reality. He's always available. But there is a reach out and touch him. There is a call of the Spirit of God that literally is going out to everybody, everywhere, every day. Yeah, you can't come to him, the Bible says, except the Holy Spirit draws you. So we clearly believe that God is speaking to you about closing the gap, about getting into a living, saving, healing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, where the touch of Christ is a very real part of your everyday experience. This is what God has planned for each of us. And so he's calling you to that, but you've got to respond to that. You've got to believe that. And you've got to press into that. You've got to push past the devil's lies that this isn't going to work, that God doesn't care, that you're unworthy, that you're un-anything. And come on, let's face it. You may not have had her issues. I haven't had her issues, but I wore a lot of labels in my life. And if you don't know that they're abundant, they're out there. There's abundance of labels. And whatever those labels are for you, here's the answer. If you could just touch Christ, if you could just let the touch of Christ be real in your life, everything will change because he is unbelievably loving. His unmerited grace and favor will provide you this unimaginable saving grace and mercy and healing touch. And so we just want to encourage you today to press through that stuff. Press through that stuff. Be encouraged by good old what's her name here. We don't know her name, but this daughter of God, this woman who touched the Lord Jesus Christ and received what those who touch him receive. So we pray that for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do. We pray for each person that is able to share this time with us and with whom we're able to share. We know they're precious. We know they're beloved, and we don't know their situation. Maybe they are just about as frustrated as this woman must have been. But we pray for faith. We pray for a revelation. We pray for the report of the Spirit of Christ and the glory of saving mercy and healing grace and restoring power to just lighten their souls, to quicken inside of their spirits to the place where they say, I'm going to reach out and touch the Lord. I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust Christ for his touch. And then, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you want to bring this marvelous, healing, saving, life-giving freedom. The same thing you brought into this woman's life, you want to bring into the lives of all these precious folks. And so we pray for that. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, thanks again for watching. Hey, take a moment, share this with your friends, the people that are connected with you, so they also might experience the touch of Jesus in their life. If you have a prayer request or you want to connect with us, take a moment and just touch the link below and fill out that information, and we'd love to connect with you. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you again.